HeritageRadioNetwork.org is dedicated to providing the most up-to-date information and news on the food industry. Interviews with chefs and in-depth pieces on food systems take listeners literally from the farm to the fork. Can you hear this anywhere else? Nope. Press the donate button on our website and learn how you can become a founding member and support the station. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
To Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Heritage Radio Network. We're here at Roberta's, a gorgeous, awesome, wonderful summer Monday today in Brooklyn. And, you know, I've had a lot of chefs on the show, folks who are restaurant owners, but never have I had anyone on the show that is just about to open their first restaurant. So what is it like to start a new restaurant in Brooklyn? And what does that take? Today I'm joined with Josh Kaplan, and he is launching a new restaurant called Desara Ramen. We've got his chef, Mark Giroux, in the house as well. Thanks so much for being here, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Josh, you're pretty young, and you've worked in kitchens as chef before. Milk Bar on Vanderbilt Ave, and, you know, line cooks here and there around town. But this is the first time you are going to be the owner.
That
exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Did you know that you wanted to do this, or what was how did that happen?
Yeah, I guess when I was like 25, I kind of took a look around the industry and saw that you really can't make much of a living as a line cook. So I realized that if I was going to have to do this for the rest of my life, which it appeared I was going to have to do, you really have to own something. So yeah. I kind of made that my mission. You know, had a lot of false starts, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of wasted time, but
okay.
Led me to my partner and led me to my project. So
what is it like? I mean, it sounds like a scary, is it a dead end job being a line cook or what? I mean,
well, it depends on who you ask. You know, there's a lot of different schools of thought on it. I meet a lot of guys who, you know, have dedicated themselves to really going for the gold ring, and they make $300 a week at, you know, 4-star spots in the city. And by the time they're 30, they're, you know, getting a real estate license or trying to get their degree in education, you know, because you just get burnt out. It's a very difficult way to make a living.
It's a hard knock.
And, you know, yeah that's that was basically why I decided, you know, if I'm going to do this, I have to make it work and I have to be able to actually build a life.
Hey, Mark, does this sound familiar to you? Working in kitchens, you just recently came here from Canada, I know. So, but what was it like there? Was it horrible pay, like horrible hours, horrible... I don't know. Anything?
I mean, it's a lifestyle choice.
Okay.
It's a certain way that, you know, you it's a certain type of work, and it's a grind, but for some it's something that there's a certain peace in it and a certain joy in this type of hard work all the time. Because you do, I mean, it's a daily sort of result that you can see, you know, when your customers are leaving or when your bosses are telling you that you've done a great job or anything. You're constantly rewarded. Mm-hmm. On that level, and at the end of the day, when you feel like a piece of crap when you go home, it's almost satisfying as well.
What I was speaking to was more the idea of trying to say start a family on $600 a week if you're, you know, getting up there in the game. It's difficult.
That is very difficult. And it's hard to balance that, like, that satisfaction of making something tangible that you can enjoy and
I mean, the job in itself and the lifestyle in a lot of respects is awesome, you know.
Right.
you basically are a nocturnal creature, and everyone you meet is really cool. Like, your whole circle of friends are just, you know, a bunch of artists and people who are similarly passionate about their things that they're passionate about. But just in terms of a sustainable lifestyle beyond your 20s, it's
yeah,
it can be difficult depending on how far you're able to go or willing to go.
Yeah, nocturnal lifestyle for having kids doesn't sound
no. Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of dudes who are already cooking into their early 30s, and you know, they haven't had a relationship that lasted longer than 6 months, and you know, they're
before we get too depressed right now.
It's not, so. I mean, it's not, you know, I'm sorry if
it comes
off as somewhat depressive, but it's just, you know, some people are built for it and some people aren't. And I think, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like a you know, a mastery apprenticeship, maybe. Like,
sure.
Study.
I look at it like that's how I think of it. The last 6 years I've been cooking, I think of it as like college, real college, because I actually wasted 4 years at actual college.
So tell me about Dasara Ramen. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah. The actual Japanese characters are Datsusara.
Okay.
It means career change. My partner, Justin, who you know, is a lawyer, and you know, he really wanted to open a restaurant, and he and his wife are big ramen nuts, and they saw that it's a good, I guess, industry. I guess ramen is its own industry, but a good niche cuisine that's starting to percolate in the city. And
it definitely is.
Yeah, and they decided to open a shop, and I just
and the location is key. I mean, it's on Smith Street in Carroll Gardens, which is a huge restaurant destination, restaurant row.
Yeah.
And there's no ramen places, and it's kind of cool that, like, there is this demand. You know, in the last couple of years or so, we've seen Brooklyn ramen restaurants, and you know, now it's like opening a burger place. Hey, let's go to that ramen place, or
well,
sushi.
That's what you're saying is exactly the calculation we basically made, which is we're kind of, in a certain sense, getting in on the ground floor of ramen. Like, right now, when a new ramen place opens and it pops up in a blog or in the paper or something, it's like the ramen trend is moving to this neighborhood or that neighborhood.
Yeah,
but the way we see it is like, you know, 60, 70, 80 years ago, when a new pizza place would open up, it wasn't the pizza trend. It was a staple cuisine coming from a immigrant population kind of inserting itself into the culture and becoming a staple cuisine. So burgers are exactly right. Sushi is exactly right. It's not that Carroll Gardens now has one ramen place. It's the first of what will probably be several, just like it has a bunch of pizza places and a bunch of sushi places. And it's basically, I mean, what we look at it as is like, you know, you're investing in death and taxes. You know what I mean? Just something that's going to be a reality.
It's interesting because you mentioned like the immigrant cuisines bringing their flavors to New York City with their pizza shops and so forth. And you folks are newer to Japanese cuisine. You're from Long Island? Upstate.
Upstate New York.
Gotcha. Mark?
Outside of Toronto in Canada.
So not Japanese.
No.
But avid not. Nerds about all things ramen.
Correct. And Lana and Justin also spent significant time in Japan as part of their lines of work. And I mean, yeah, like you said, we're nerds. We basically devour everything we can get our hands on.
So when did, like, ramen become something that you geeked out about?
It was actually the first stock I ever made was with the pop-up dinners that we were doing last summer. We did a lamb ramen, which is going to be make its way onto the fall menu.
Nice.
And yeah, I mean, as soon as Aputo opened, I was like, I would probably say once a week I would be in there. You know, Minka, all the ramen shops in the city, I was just kind of like, you know, I love broth, so.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite one?
The Akamaru Modern, I would probably refer to as my platonic ideal, what a bowl of ramen should be.
Just cool.
Perfect balance and really heavy and like that soul-warming thing.
Mm-hmm. There's so many different styles of ramen, too.
Absolutely. And part of the concept for the restaurant is expanding the things that a bowl of ramen can be.
Right.
Because in Japan, it's kind of a very fast and loose, like whimsical cuisine. You know, they'll experiment, they'll be really weird. And I mean, there are exceptions and there are specials, but on almost any ramen shop menu in the city, it'll be, you know, shoyu, shio, miso, and, you know, we want to...
These are the different broths, yes.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? There's like a staple. There's gotcha. Like there's yeah. like a staple, like ramen shop menu. The other side of the menu, as we like to refer to it, are like the small plates are all these kind of little bites that don't really vary much from place to place, so...
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, as cool as it is that ramen is becoming so, you know, less exotic than it once may have been to the mainstream New York people, I think it's telling that there's something very universal about a slurp-worthy bowl of hot, flavorful broth with some sort of starch in there.
Yeah, it's soul food. That's why what we recognized as its kind of universal appeal that... We're banking on the fact, that, like we said, we're just kind of out ahead of something that's going to be very much a reality in the city for, mm-hmm. you know, decades to come.
So is there anything comparable to ramen that you may have grown up eating that...
Well, I'm a huge soul food head. I love, I mean, you know...
Soul food like yeah. gumbo or like... No, that's not
I,
gumbo.
It definitely sorry. Kind of expanded over mm-hmm. the years into Creole, but my yeah. okay. original... I mean, I'm from upstate New York and... We have a big African-American community in the little town I'm from, and most of their family migrated over the generations, probably two or three generations from, like, North Carolina and okay. then, you know, deeper into the South, like Georgia. So you kind of get that just classic fried chicken, mac and cheese, and collard greens cuisine, and that's yeah. that's what I always really love the
Interesting.
Most.
Interesting. Yeah. Mark, what about you? Any like comparisons to ramen, if any, that you may have grown up loving?
Well, I mean, Canada doesn't necessarily have a Canadian cuisine. Exactly.
I know, what is it?
but there is a lot of. I mean, it's a very cold, long winter. Yeah.
Gamey.
Some years, yeah. There's a. I mean, it's a lot of meat and potatoes heavy. Yeah. You know, tortilla, yeah. French, Quebecois pies. You know, rich sort of
rich,
full,
meaty.
Full, satisfying hot meals in the winter, especially
the, foie gras.
Foie gras.
Some foie gras as well.
Can we get some duck liver flavored broth somehow? Or ooh, duck ramen.
Foie gras chashu.
My chef that I used to work with at Duerdine actually is doing brunch ramen on the weekends with a rabbit. Bones right now. He kind of mm-hmm. makes like a blended rabbit stock, and
that's like nice, like a little red wine rabbit stew, maybe, or like
I don't know. If, cool. I don't think there's any wine. He makes like, you know, he cooks out like I think it's a combination of pork, chicken, and rabbit, but it okay. gives it this like kind of nice little weird thing. It's good.
A little bit of gaminess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For fall, we want to do the Zion with all the Zion components, like. It oh should I maybe give
yeah,
some
what,
context
what is, yeah.
so Zion famous I'm actually wearing the t-shirt
oh Zion famous food
yeah oh I'm mispronouncing it sorry that's really
it happens all the time
yeah
Josh was like do you know Mapo I want to do a Mapo squash I'm like what are you talking about he's like how can you not know what I'm talking about I'm like oh Mapo
yeah
tofu
yeah I mispronounce English
it's
words
okay.
too so it's just a general problem with phonetics No, so, I mean, we love that their stuff, so we thought, yeah. why not take those components and put it into a ramen? So we're going to do, like,
nice.
That lamb broth, probably mix pork and lamb.
A little cumin. Yeah.
Chili oil, awesome. Cilantro, some, like, the chashu will be, like, a spicy, tingly lamb belly.
Oh, or, that's super fun.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Generally.
I like the references to so many different cuisines going on, and I know you guys are working on. Can I say it? The deli.
Yeah.
The
sure.
deli ramen, which is going to have floating matzo balls in it, and who knows what? Something smoky, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, actually, I guess it's okay to say we just got Mylan to agree to be our supplier for this. We're going to have their smoked meat as our basic chashu on the.
Nice teamwork there from the community. That's awesome.
With a big thank you to Kathy for putting it together.
I don't know what you're talking about. yeah, so I just love these different cultural references. There's a kind of Chinese red braised pork in your otherwise super rich Japanese flavored broth chicken ramen. There is, what else? The mushroom ramen is pretty complex, and that stock is vegetarian, and that's probably not traditional to, I don't know what. It was your own thing, it seems like.
What we're, Chef and I are really conscious about is not forcing any of these ideas. So, like, it's like, you know, there was a whole war that was waged a generation ago over the idea of, like, fusion. And I think
it's still going on.
Yeah. and I think that what makes the, gives that kind of a negative connotation is when you force ideas. When you're right. like, I have, yeah. I have, like, you know, a bowl of tonkatsu in front of me, like, what, like, let me put in like a slice of pizza as and that'll be like the that'll be the chashu on it. It's so wacky and crazy. Like, you know, the deli ramen, for instance, the first time I went to Sobetoto, where we are ramen actually Toto. Getting our noodles, by the way,
yeah,
Toto ramen, and had it, you kind of have like you rediscover, like, not to get overly corny, but like the sense of wonder you have when you have like your grandma's chicken soup when you're a kid, and mm-hmm. for me that chicken soup had matzo balls in it, so it was an easy leap, and it makes a lot of sense. It's just basically the same as your grandma's chicken stock, only the chicken goes for about 2 hours longer. There's more of it in comparison to the ratio of like water to bone and meat and fat, and you know, there's a few other things that we probably shouldn't say on the radio, but
all right. That's
not that
exciting.
It's anything bad, just, you know, yeah. giving away
yeah
family secret
recipes,
yeah.
Well, let's talk more about some of those secrets to come at Desara Ramen after our little musical interlude. We'll be right back.
Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Donate. It's for a good cause, man. Heritage Radio, super awesome dudes, Snacky Tunes, and that other show where dudes get drunk. I love Nicole Taylor, Hot Grease, Dave Arnold, Cooking Issues, Farm Report, Patrick Martins. Listen to the radio because it's better than the TV because it doesn't have pictures to distract you. Learn about food. Donate at HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
All right, that was an amazing commercial. I love it. Please do help out the radio. It's a great cause. It keeps us doing this for free and having a lot of fun. So we're talking to Desara Ramen, owner and chef. And we were just talking a little bit about Brooklyn restaurants and how they've, not so much reinvented something, different cuisines, that is, but try to infuse little touches of seasonal ingredients, like you were saying about Roberta's, like they took the classic Neapolitan style pizza and they're always adding stuff that's grown like above our heads right now in this garden and you know, fiddleheads or something in the spring and so forth. And it yeah, it's a new kind of way of approaching classic cuisines, right?
Yeah, me and chefs approach basically in all things developing the restaurant, and it really extends to every facet, out even outside the food, but it's creativity within a framework. So, you know, you start with a bowl of ramen, but rather than take it as kind of this orthodoxy, you know, we kind of look at it as a vehicle. Like, it's just all these different components you can play with, and, you know, we kind of filter that through our sensibilities. And most of my experience was cooking in Brooklyn and San Francisco, which are two cuisines that are really, really similar, and kind of applying that aesthetic to
totally.
The
so what's your upcoming, like, is it going to be different menus for each season that you're going to explore? Tell us about that, Mark.
Well, we're currently working on the fall menu. The summer one is written in, and we'll be rolling that out as soon as we open.
Which is like next week, by the way.
Which is everyone. Like next week.
Ish.
Yeah, soft opening. Do check it out. Between Sackett and DeGraw on Smith. Anyway, go on.
And but yeah, the fall menu is currently a work in progress, but it's mostly written at this point. We're just sort of working out the kinks, and we'll be rolling that out as soon as weather gets a little bit colder.
And you know, in respect to seasonality, the food will reflect that. You know, like something like the pork and apple ramen.
It's pork and apple ramen?
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, super fall dish.
Cider?
No. Actually, I think we're gonna make, it's gonna sound corny, but like an apple butter, but not actual apple butter, like apple, and then we'll like garnish it with apple slices. It's gonna kind of be like a stew. Like, it's a stew in kind of the conception, but then we thin it out and we use like a really heavy tonkatsu.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds great. So it's an apple butter. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I get it.
And I mean, that's just for the pickup, though. I mean, it really isn't going to have much to do with the final presentation
of
the bowl. But, you know, like rosemary, nutmeg, like a lot of fall spices.
But that's exactly it. I mean, we'll be playing with, you know, the classic flavors of the Northeast and, you know, this kind of area, and we're going to be using whatever's available fresh and seasonal and incorporating that the best way we can into a bowl of ramen that hopefully people will enjoy and that have not had before.
And that you don't have to know all this stuff to enjoy it, you know, that it's accessible. It's when you hear the sound of that on a menu, it like, you know, you don't have to know all the intricacies of it. You'll taste it, it'll ideally be good. And
it's funny, it's like, it sounds like another restaurant might have a pork and apple dish that's like a seared chop, maybe like a pork or like an apple, like kind of sauce of some sort, you know, but a different assembly on a plate.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the highest praise when we do menu development that we'll give something is it makes sense. So, you know, even though it's kind of, it would be sort of a new dish, and I mean, pork and apple stew is not a new dish at all, but pork and apple ramen, it kind of is. It makes sense. All the flavors make sense. We're not doing anything overly experimental or chancy outside of the fact that we're putting it in a bowl of ramen. You know what I mean? Like, we're not, I'm not the type of person, you know, with all due respect to the geniuses and artists that want to do like fish and white chocolate. It's not like what we're out for. We put, no, hey, Lee Brandt, he's famous for that.
Really?
I think that's a dish. You ever see that documentary?
I'm not, I'm totally confused.
The guy from, what's his name, downtown, he used to be at, I think, Gilt, it's Drew Neapont's place in Tribeca.
Oh, I have no idea.
No?
I'm out of it.
Chef, any?
Same, nothing.
Sorry.
I saw this documentary about him. He's a fantastic genius and an artist, and like he makes these beautiful plates, but he puts together even like these fantastic, really unexpected flavor combinations.
Cool. And white chocolate.
I don't know
fish.
How we got in this digression, but
no, that's cool.
I'm leaving it to say that.
So ramen, Desire Ramen, good date spot, good date place to have a first place.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Low price point, super accessible.
Sharing.
Yeah, small. I mean, everyone has to, but small
plenty
plates,
of appetizers.
Yeah.
So I asked everyone on this show the same question. But what would you say? It doesn't have to be ramen. Is the ultimate date meal in your opinions?
Chef, you can go first on
this
one.
That's a tough one. Let me think on this. Is it ramen? I don't think it's ramen. Ramen is a bit too quick for.
I would definitely go
date,
like
the best date, let's say.
Okay.
Oysters,
it's good for a first date.
Oysters and dry rosé.
Okay.
And then maybe
start with
finish with a carbonara.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Just simple, soulful.
Nice. Yeah. Tasty. So
I'm not going to say the best date. I'm going to say the last best date that I had here in Brooklyn, and that was at St. Anselm.
Oh, I tried to go the other night. 2 hour wait at 10 o'clock on like a Friday.
It was a perfect meal.
Nice. I had a similar experience like a few months ago, Josh.
So hard to get in there right now. I don't know what they're doing.
Good for you.
Everything
that sounds
right.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like they're doing everything right, and that place is tiny, so.
That $15 steak is unbelievable.
$15 steak?
Yeah, what is it, a strip, a hanger?
Hanger.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Nice. All right, so what'd you have there? Was it the steak, or?
Yeah, the steak, we had a pork chop, we had some mushrooms and avocado shrimp salad, everything.
Everything.
Everything was great.
Steak is a good one. Steak is a good one. I have like a soft spot for carbonara, especially because like, I guess, I don't know. I guess maybe that wasn't the right answer to date night question. That's like my...
No, Josh, actually, like the majority of people say something like pasta.
Yeah.
It's true.
Because, I mean, I've been in a relationship for a long time. Like, you come home and you, like, throw something together.
Right.
And that's, but you, like, eat together, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's nice, you know, a little bit of sophistication to start it off with oysters and rosé. And then you just go for the gut.
Yeah, and you guys are having an oyster on the menu.
We do have an oyster,
for the summer.
Yes.
And that should be fun. It's actually roasted, too.
Broiled.
Or whatever, broiled.
And then, you want to talk about it?
Yeah. What else is on there?
We have some miso bacon. We have some Thai chili sauce. We have dashi butter, which is basically an infused butter with dashi stock.
Cool.
It's a delicious dish.
Nice.
Yeah. And that one would probably be great for a date,
It's good for sharing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the ramens, too. I think that that's like, there's something just fun about eating it and watching other people.
Slurping the noodles.
Yeah. I mean, are we going to hear lots of slurps in this place? Or like,
because
that's the classic, you know,
maybe
noodle
on
shop experience.
Maybe on Valentine's Day, we can run that scene from Tampopo over and over.
Yeah.
Again. just a continuous loop of people passing egg yolks into each other's mouths.
Oh, no. Yeah, so Tampopo is amazing, and I feel like anyone who likes ramen needs to watch that film.
Yeah.
It's a classic cult Japanese film about a ramen restaurant starting up, and so we came a long way from talking about opening a restaurant in Brooklyn to egg yolks, sex, or whatever it is, and that scene in Tampopo. But, you know, so this is really exciting, and congratulations, and what are you most nervous about
as
going into this? Everything? Okay.
I worry about everything.
You got a good chef, obviously, you got some, it looks beautiful, it's coming together, and cool name, I don't know, like, so what's...
You know,
what
just until the
next?
Doors are open, you're always worried, you know, is your whole enterprise based on, like, a false... proposition, you know,
a false idea.
Yeah,
right.
You never know until the doors are open and people receive you, and until then you get to like spin your wheels and beat yourself up and all that good stuff,
you know. And it's
the joys of opening a restaurant for everyone who's interested listening.
No, I mean it's gonna be an interesting next few months. I know they say that 75% of all restaurants close in the first year.
Not us.
I'm sorry that makes you like, you know, shiver, but
it's just a year off my life. Don't worry about it.
It's just... and all my money. So, I don't know. I think that this is a bold move, and it's an exciting time, and I think you should enjoy it. And, what else? I mean, it's opening. Can we say an official date?
We cannot give the date, or our PR company
This is how everything works. It's just so, like... You got to be in the know. It's soft opening now, and then it's officially opening, and then all of a sudden it's on Gawker or whatever the sites are.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens first.
The soft opening is really like, and, you know, I don't feel weird about saying this, for us to get a good rhythm with our front of house and to get the kitchen in a good rhythm, as I hope Chef doesn't mind my saying, he's going to get married next week. He's going home to...
Right.
Canada for a week. So
yeah, we planned it right for the start
take a week off.
He
there.
And his wife Laura said, "When is the worst possible time in terms of your schedule that we can get married?" Yeah. And no, but
it'll
outside
be okay.
of this country, also.
Yes, right, right. Yes.
Just right. to make it increase the level of difficulty.
Very, very. And they're also going to do it upside down on the wing of an airplane.
Exactly. Well, cooking ramen.
Exciting week ahead.
Yes.
Well, let's enjoy it. And best of luck. Congratulations. Thank you for bringing ramen to Carroll Gardens.
Thanks for having us, Kathy. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kathy.
All right. Can we check you out at desararamen.com or something?
Yeah, it's kind of like more of just a business card on the internet. What you could do is like us on Facebook and Twitter. And,
all right.
I can't believe I'm actually saying that out loud, but... Yeah, we have a Twitter page and we have a Facebook page, and the more people like us, the more people know about us.
DASSARA.
Oh yeah, good call. Yeah.
Check it out. All right, thanks guys, and thanks Joe and everyone at Heritage, and we'll see you next week on Let's Eat In.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.